Before again that Pastor Diego comes, you're going to hear from a great man, a humble man, a very humble man, a dear, dear friend. Again, pastored a phenomenal church, and he wouldn't tell you this, but I'll tell you, a mega church. Listen to me, 8,000 people plus or something like that. Staff that is, he had, they had staff when he was there, and he's still there, connected, but more staff than we actually have people in our church. They've got a Christian school of 1,000 kids. They've got a full daycare. The facility there is like you're walking into, like, the first time we walked in the facility, I was like, my Lord and my God, 4,200 seats in the facility. They've seen hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people born again in their region. They're reaching out. They've got, listen to me, I'm talking influence in the entire community. This is the kind of man you're going to hear from today. So come on, would you stand up with me this morning and welcome Pastor Diego Mesa. Come on, we're glad you're here. Glad you're here. Amen. I love you. I love you. Make sure we're on that. Make sure that was on, I think. I want to make sure you're good.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for your hospitality and your generosity. And there's a lot and much I can say about your pastors, that they truly, truly are shepherds. They truly, truly are pastors. Nowadays, I mean, sometimes we have ministers that are more in it for themselves. They're in it to use the church as a platform. Some of them are more entertainers than anything. Some of them, you don't know how long they're going to be there because they're in transition of some form or some fashion. But your pastors are truly shepherds that love this church and love you individually and are not only there with you, because some pastors are only there with you during your good days, and you can't find them when you're going through your most difficult days. And you have the kind of pastors that will hold your hand and be there through your most difficult times and help you to believe God to get through whatever you're going through. Amen? And so, yes, we did spend 10 days in Italy together. And I know Pastor Gary has said, you know what, I have pastor friends or friends that I traveled or I've shared with us that when they traveled, make sure that the trip is shorter because you may not like the people you're traveling with. Second guess them, are you really, really sure you know this couple? And but we put all those concerns aside, and we had so many laughs. And if you don't want to, I don't think we were able to download some pictures of us because I wanted to just show you some pictures that we did in Italy. But we became gelato experts, okay? So if you want to impress your pastors, just find a gelato place in all of San Diego and invite them, and they will be there in a half a second to your gelato place. So we love gelatos, and we had so many laughs, and it was just truly, truly fun ministering and really, really got closer to them, and they will always be very dear to us, always very dear to us. I brought my girlfriend of next month will be 41 years. That we have been married. She's bore me 3 sons and 7 grandchildren from that relationship. So I'm very honored. But Spectrum, I just really, really appreciate you guys. It's, you know, it's one thing to take up offerings and never know where that money goes. But when you walk on this property, you can see where your money is going toward the vision, toward the community, and toward future needs. And so I just want to commend you. And then to hear about the men's sprint that went on, I mean, that you want to change a church, change men. And so I want to thank every man for coming to church today and bringing your family to church. And for you ladies who don't have your husbands here or whoever, let's continue to believe God that they will come. So thank you for coming to church today, and thank you for inviting people to church. I'm getting ready to minister a thought to you today, but really, Brittany, you just are so on my heart right now. You really are. And God just simply wants to honor this amazing woman. We honor Tony, but it's not about Tony today. It's about Brittany today. And God just wants to immensely reward her and give her her heart's desires. God's ear is open to your prayers. You have been so faithful. You have been a pillar. And you do it without complaint. And sometimes you cry alone wondering why. But God's going to immensely bless you. For all the tears that you have shed silently, God is going to reward you openly. Your best days are ahead. Promotion is coming on your job immensely. Prayers being answered are going to come. And it's just a time of a great season you're going to enter into of great, great joy and great, great fulfillment. And I just believe everything and anything that has ever been stolen from you, God is going to immensely reward you in this season. So it's a great time for her. Can we celebrate? Amen. I'd like to minister to you a thought very quickly today, and then we're going to pray for some people today. I'm going to read from Matthew, the 7th chapter. And in Matthew, the 7th chapter, it reads like this. So he got into a boat, speaking of Jesus, and crossed over and came to his own town. Just then some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. This guy couldn't walk. We don't know how long he was a paralytic, but he was there. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Have courage, son, your sins are forgiven." Now, this guy is coming for a natural healing, but Jesus is addressing something else. It almost seems like out of place. Why would you talk about the guy's sin? He didn't come to you saying, "I'm a sinner, I repent. Let me talk to you about what I did last night." He doesn't do that, but it goes on. And this, some of the scribes, the religious leaders, said to themselves, "He's blaspheming. He's saying something irreligious or something that he should not say." Perceiving their thoughts. How many of you know Jesus knows not only our actions, he knows our thoughts. And it goes on and says, Jesus said, "Why are you," to these religious leaders, "why are you thinking evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier?" Say this statement with me. Which is easier? Which is easier for Jesus to do in this man's life? And what is easier for Jesus to do in your life? Let's read it. "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and walk, you're healed." Which one's easier, or which one's harder to God? "But so that you may know that the Son of Man," Jesus, "has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic, "Get up, take up your stretcher, and go home." So he got up and he went home. Interesting that Jesus says that a sign that I could forgive sins is that people get healed. Just remember the correlation. A sign that Jesus can save people from their dire sins is the fact that Jesus performs a ministry called healing to people, and that healing is a right of ours. I'm going to just simply come up with a title of this message, but as I'm doing that, I'm going to turn to this book that I wrote, and I brought three books. One deals with negative emotions that we sometimes deal with, like depression and sorrow and stress and grief and things of that nature. And then I brought a book called 44 Hacks, which deals with business people. It deals with entrepreneurs, administrators. It's how we were able to build $150 to $180 million in assets in Rancho Cucamonga, and the principles behind it. So I teach those principles of how we were able to do that. There's one principle called challenge the process. Don't accept everything as truth. Challenge what's being said and filter through to find ridiculous responsiveness. Don't let things pile up on your desk. Respond very, very quickly, because people need answers to that. There's another one called work hard, but rest harder. A lot of people work very hard, but they don't know how to rest. So there's a lot of principles there. And then I wrote this book several years ago about how to dream when you're told you're going to die. And it's a testimony of the fact that I had, in 2008, was diagnosed with terminal cancer, stage 4 kidney cancer. My right kidney was removed. And the foremost oncologist in the Kaiser system, our doctors in our church, had recommended him to me to be the oncologist to take on this case, said, "You had a 50% chance to live 1 year, and the longest living patient is 6 years. You're terminal." Best case scenario, if the chemo, not natural chemo, will work on you, so we're trying you on a drug that just came out of testing, trial basis, and if it works, best case scenario, it's going to prolong your life. This is from a doctor that studied my case because I felt like it was important that people understood that I wasn't making this story up and that a medical doctor put his reputation online as he studied the case. So it went like this. His CT scan showed a complex cystic mass in the right kidney suspicious of neoplastic process cancer. Multiplied lactic lesions were identified in his T9, T10, L1, L3, S1 vertebrae, a bony pelvis, all consisting with bony metastasis cancer. His final pathology from surgery showed renal carcinoma, clear cell trait, grade 4, sarcomatoid trait feature, parentheses cancer. His diagnosis was stage 4 kidney cancer with an aggressive cell type that had a 5-year survival or less percent. This is a type of news that paralyzes everyone, even the most positive outlook. It is news that can create such woefulness that one's desire to fight vanishes. Fortunately for all of us, Pastor's story did not end with the grave attack that this is described above, and his testimony for nearly, this is written then, 6 years later has flourished. His enduring existence on earth is a true modern-day miracle. Dr. Charles Mark Page, diplomat, American Board of Urologists, Southern California Permanente Medical Group, Claremont, California. Well, if you do the math, again, if they say that the longest living, he says 5, or the longest living, my urologist said 6 years. That was 2008. What year is it today? How many years from 2008 to we are today? 16 years. So here's what you need to recognize, is the truth always overrides facts. The facts and stats may tell you one thing. You're educated so you can only live here. You're this skin color so you can do this. You've been divorced 3 times so you can only have this. You have a 4th grade education so you can only choose this. Or you've been born with this, or you have a diagnosis. And so here are the stats, and here are the facts. Here's what you need to say. Thank you for your stats. Thank you for your facts. But truth in God's word, I'm going to go and see what God's word has to say about my situation and my condition. And you need to know that truth always supersedes and overrides facts. And you can get controlling, and you can get influenced by the facts or the stats, or you can go to God's word and God and liberate your spirit, soul, and body. But it's up to you whether you're willing to do that or not. So I want to talk a little bit about the double provisions on Calvary's cross, or like the two extended hands as Jesus died on the cross. What maybe was within his left hand and what was within his right hand. Pastor Kim preached about that or shared a little testimony about that, then sang a song about the goodness of God. And in both hands was an extended God. And so in one hand, we see that Jesus forgave sins. In the other hand, Jesus provides healing. That is the double provisions that Jesus provides. And I think hopefully, if not, it'll be okay. On your screen, you're going to see a few points, and then we're going to share and minister to people today. In Jesus' double identity for you was complete and total redemption and sacrifice. On that cross was totality and completeness in that. All his power was on display. All his glory was on display. All his compassion, all his love, all his goodness, and all his mercy was on display. The double identity. The two greatest needs in all humanity. The two greatest needs in society. The two greatest needs today and will always be there is the forgiveness of sins. People don't have an answer for the sins in their lives. And the greatest other need is that people are sick, and they're sicker than they've ever been before. Mental health is on a rise. Suicide is on a rise. Old diagnosis or old symptoms or old sicknesses are rising up again. Vaccinations are on a heightened level than they've ever been before. Sickness, thank God for doctors. Thank God for prescription. Thank God for the medical practice. But how many of you know they're overwhelmed? How long does it take you to get an appointment? You're not even seeing a doctor anymore because they can't handle the caseload anymore. And the list goes on and on and on and on about that. But thank God for Calvary. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for Jesus. Is he knew what the two greatest needs in all humanity would be. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, or whether it's in the future, you don't have to worry about it because along those lines. It's like a double-barrel shotgun. Are there any people who shoot guns here today? That it was shot out to provide healing for a physical body and healing for a soul against the sins that anybody would ever face. Forgiveness and healing in Jesus' eyes is not hard. Or not more difficult, or easier or lesser. They're the same. He equally purchased and atoned and redeemed both of them on the cross. Same place, same Jesus, same blood, same body, same time, both of them were taken care of. There was no down payment that Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to take care of this sin thing right now, but maybe later I'm going to pay for this healing thing when people need to get sick. No, they were both atoned for on the cross. It's not like you go somewhere and they say, okay, we'll accept your payment here, but you got to go over here to pay this other payment. The transaction of payment was done on that cross for both things, for the forgiveness of our sins and for the atonement and the healing of our bodies. A couple of weeks ago, a lady came to us, and we had prayed for her and said, you know, I had a brain tumor. It was starting to affect my vision. It was clear when they went and took the CAT scan that it was there, and I just went back, and they can't find no tumor in my brain anymore. God's not a respecter of persons. God didn't heal me because I'm a pastor, because I have all these hours of prayer. I know the Bible. I went to Bible school. No. Don't do that. You're lessening who you are in Christ, and you're lessening the atonement that Jesus paid for on the cross. It's not for these special elite few, and Jesus rolls the dice, and you might be the lucky one that gets it. The rest of you, you're going on to heaven. Thank God for that. But that, no, it doesn't work that way. God healed me because I tapped into the understanding of recognizing that I had a right to be healed, that it was legally paid for, and that sickness and disease, listen to me, is an illegal trespasser, and it has no right to dwell in your body because Jesus took the full atonement of that. And you need to now tell the devil he's a liar in the name of Jesus. And you need to speak the truth of what God's word says over your life and over your body. We don't often question forgiveness the way we do. Why do we do that? There's no doubt that anybody has. There's no speculation that anyone has. There's no quarrel that anybody has. We believe. Put my hand up. Here? Okay. That good? Thank you. These fancy Chula Vista microphones. We buy ours at Radio Shack. I don't even know if Radio Shack exists anymore. I'm going to sing a song right now. I don't know what it is that we do, but why do we question forgiveness and we don't question healing? We have, why I'm shaking over here in this hand. Why do we have all these doubts? Why do we have all these questions when it comes to healing that we don't have concerning forgiveness? If anybody today knew someone or you wanted to be forgiven of your sins, do you worry about it? Do you have anxiety about it? Do you have doubt? I hope he forgives me. No. You don't do that. But why do we put all those speculations around healing? Why do we do that? Jesus said in his word, as far as the east is from the west, I'll no longer remember your iniquity. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. We believe that to be true, and it's settled. We will even get upset and argue if someone told us that's not true. You'll get a little mad. You'll get a little argumentative. You'll get a little indictive about it. So if I looked at you right now and I said, watch this. How many of you are saved today? Raise your hand. You could believe in Jesus Christ. You've accepted him. You repent of your... Okay, put your hands down. You're all liars. I don't believe it. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? How do you know that you're going to go to heaven? How do you know that you've been forgiven of your sin? Come on, talk to me. How do you know that? Oh, I heard the word. Okay. I still don't believe it. You're liars. You're a bunch of liars. If I kept saying that over and over, you just would say, shut up. Shut up. And some of you'd get mad and say something like that. Why don't we feel indignant when someone tells us you can't be healed? Healing is not for you. You're going to die of cancer. Just accept it. Stop all that fantasy stuff that you're talking about and believing. No, we would never do that concerning forgiveness of sins. It would be settled. It would be done. We'd have confidence. We'd have courage. We'd have conviction. And that's the way we need to be concerning healing, because on the cross is both of them were paid for. Who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all thy disease. They're right together. They're right together. He himself bore my sins and carried my sorrows by his stripes. They're there. Communion, the body and the blood, healing and sins, it's there. They're always together. That's the way through Jesus. He looks at it the same way. Same blood, same atonement, same sacrifice goes to forgiveness of sins as well as the healing of the body. Why do we put so many barriers and limitations and restrictions around healing that we don't place around forgiveness? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, you know it, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, not some soever, whosoever believes in him. But we put all these barriers, all these whys, all these what ifs, all these buts. We put all these barriers in between our healing. In John 5, we read about the man at the pool of Bethesda that was lame. Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? Do you really want? He had to ask him, do you have an excuse? Do you have a blame? Do you have a fault? Or you have a why? Do you want to be made well? You would think that he'd automatically say, of course I do. I'm lame. I want to be made well. No, I want to check your heart. Do you really want this? I know a friend. We were at a healing service, and there was a section that was for deaf people, and there was an interpreter for deaf people. And this healing evangelist came into that service, and he said, if anybody wants to get healed, come forward, or I'll pray for you, or whatever that went down like that. And none of the people that were deaf in the healing section came forward to get prayed for. And so the guest minister told the pastor, I'm confused, because we were going to pray for people and none of your people came forward. He said, I know, it's happened before in my church like that. He said, well, why wouldn't they come? He says, because they get special assistance, financial assistance, because they're deaf and they don't want that check to be cut off. So, it makes sense then why Jesus would ask them, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? So we've got to get all our excuses, all the limitations, all the barriers, all the things that stop us. I had a grandmother that was prayed for. She was a good Christian. Why didn't she get healed? Why did this happen to somebody? You've got to get rid of all those excuses. During my time, people were dying of cancer left and right. Prominent preachers were dying of cancer. And the enemy would lie to me and tell me, you're next. Who do you think you are to believe God that God is going to heal you when there's so many other people that have either been believing longer than you or better Christians than you or whatever lie the enemy told me? And I had to stand upon the word and say, according to the Bible, here's what the Bible says. Watch this. Matthew 4:23. Now Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogue, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. 1/3 of Jesus' ministry was healing. So if we don't believe in healing, we take away 1/3 of Jesus' ministry. It goes on, so Jesus continued all around the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease, 1/3 of the people. Watch, we're going. Matthew 9:22 says, but Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you made you whole. And at once the woman was sozo, healed. James 5, and the prayer offered in faith, sozo, the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, it will be forgiven. One more time. For the Son of Man has come to sozo, seek and to save that which is lost. The word sozo means this. It means saved, but it also means healing. It's the same word. Sozo means saved or healing. So if you need to be saved, then you're going to be saved through sozo. If you need to be healed, you're going to be healed through sozo. It's the same word. He does not separate it. It's already paid for and it's already atoned for. You know, I want to read you just one more scripture and then I'll finish out this little teaching here. You know, the Bible talks about that Jesus healed all manner of sickness and disease. All manner. So is that, if he says he healed all manner of sickness and disease, or another translation, he healed all kinds of sickness and disease. Would that include cancer? Would that include something that is temporary versus something that's terminal? Would that include arthritis, high blood pressure, autoimmune diseases? Would include all of that? They say that that there's anywhere between 10,000 to 26,000 sicknesses and diseases. There is no case study of any individual that came to Jesus where Jesus said, it is not my will to heal you. There's not one example where he said, wow, that's a little bit beyond my pay raise there, how much I get paid. Nowhere was he overwhelmed. Oh my God, that, you know, oh myself, that's like really big. There are 23 examples of Jesus healing people. There are multitudes and hundreds, maybe thousands of people that got healed in his ministry. But when it says multitudes, we don't know how many there were. But the cases of a lame, a leper, woman with the issue of blood, someone bent over, we have 23 cases of those people being healed. Not one of them did not get healed. So for people to make an excuse or people to blame or people to put a but, it's unscriptural to do that. Not one. If you gave me one example, then I'd be able to at least side with you in some form or some fashion. But there's not one case where Jesus did not heal. The same kind of faith that it took to be forgiven is the same kind of faith that it takes to be healed. Same level of confidence, same level of trust, same level of faith, same level of belief. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. How did you get saved? Because you heard that Jesus forgave you of your sins, that you didn't have to perish in your sins. How do you get healed? The same way. You hear that by Jesus' stripes you are healed, that I will live and not die and declare the glory of the Lord. You hear that and you get and you receive from God. It's the same faith. It's not a greater measure of faith that is done there. Do we work? Do we labor? Do we toil for forgiveness of sins? Should we do for healing? You don't do that. You just receive it. You just believe. You just repent. You don't work to forgive sins. You don't work to get healed. You just simply receive it and you walk in it. Do we tarry? Do we wait for forgiveness? Or is it immediate or instant? Healing should be the same way. Now, it could take a process because the Hebrew word rapha means to mend. So how many of you know when you have major surgery, you don't come running out of the hospital? Some of you are stitched up and they roll you out in a wheelchair, but how many of you know you're in the process of being healed? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, remember in Mark, he cursed the fig tree. When did it start to die? The next day when the disciples noticed it? Or the moment he cursed it, rebuked it, bound it, said, whatever you're going to say, I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. Devil, you have no... That's when it begins to work. Psalms 56, 9 tells us, the very day we call for help, the tide of the battle turns. I may have not seen the full fruition of my manifestations 4 years later where I had 100% liberty and strength again. But the very moment I prayed and I asked God to heal me, God began to move with his healing process. I was just as healed that moment as I was 4 years ago. You can't see the root of a fig tree dried up. It's under the ground. So we question it. This tree still has leaves. Cancer still must be here. I still must have this. No, it's dead under the root, under the ground. That's what you need to believe God for. How many of you have ever gone to your backyard? Probably not in Chula Vista. And you smelled a skunk, because they probably don't exist here in Chula Vista, do they? And so you go in your backyard and you get a whiff of the skunk. What do you first do? You look to your left, you look to your right, because you don't want to get sprayed on. You think he's right there. But how many of you know most of the time he's just passed through your backyard and he could be down the block? So what you're smelling is the residue of his presence. When you rebuke the enemy and take authority over that sickness and disease, he's no longer in your backyard. He's out down the block. All you're doing is looking, smelling the residue of his presence. Stand on God's word. Believe God's word to be true. Don't accept the lies of the enemy. It doesn't work. You're going to die. You'll always have it. No, devil, you're a liar in Jesus' name. God's word is true. He legally paid for it. There's a couple more. Is there a measure and condition and depth of sin that's not forgivable? Should healing have a measure the same way? So let me ask you something. So whatever, I said a lie. Is that forgivable? Okay. God forbid I murdered somebody. Is that forgivable? Gossiped. Is that forgivable? I stole something from you. Is that forgivable? Okay. So I want you to recognize there's no depth to God's forgiveness. Hebrews tells us he saves the uttermost, them that cry out to him. He's able to save all them. Why do we think that there's depths and measures of God healing sicknesses that he can't heal other greater or dire sicknesses from? Same thing. There is no sin. There's no sin that Jesus can't forgive a soul from. There is no healing that Jesus cannot heal. Let me be an example of it. I'm a living, walking, breathing miracle. They don't know what to do with me. They're going to have to rewrite the journals of how the longest living human being that had renal carcinoma with the clear cell trait, stage 4, that had metastasized through his body. I've not seen a, true story, I'm not lying to you. I've not seen an oncologist, had a CAT scan, or had any medication in 14 years. Do I look sick to you? God's not a respecter of persons. God's not a respecter of persons. And the last point is, was forgiveness your responsibility, or could someone get saved for you? It's our responsibility. You have to ask. You have to believe for yourself. Jesus asked the blind man another question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? You tell me what you want. Release your faith in me, he's telling that blind man. What do you want me to do for you? I just want you to know today that everybody has a legal right to be healed today. And I'm gonna pray for people today. I'm gonna call out a few things. I'm gonna ask that the praise and worship team begin to move forward right now, and they're gonna help me to create an atmosphere where God can move. And I sure appreciate Pastor Gary and Kim for allowing this to take place where people can get ministered to. Two weeks ago, I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. There was an elderly lady who had two legs that were very crippled, and she brought a cane, and she says, I have not been pain-free in 7 years. She came on the stage, and we prayed for her, and she walked off the stage with no cane, and she told a long member of the church, I've been in pain for 7 years, and this is the first time in 7 years that I am pain-free. I'm here to tell you, today is your day today. You're going to get healed today. And God is not intimidated with your diagnosis or your prognosis today. And there is no condition, symptom, or disease in this room that can stand against the cross and the blood of what Jesus paid for. So right now, I'm going to invite anybody today that has a diagnosis, anybody that's ill, anyone that's sick, if you can, would you just begin to move forward here, begin to make your way toward this stage right now? There are two areas that I've been ministering over the last 6 weeks, very unique areas. The Bible talks about unusual miracles. PSTD, there are a lot of people dealing with PSTD, military people, and other situations. God has been healing a lot of people with this post-stress trauma disorder. If that's you, I'd ask that you come forward. The second area that we've seen a lot of healings in the last 6 weeks or so deals with the effects of the COVID shot. Some people have not been the same since they took that shot. If that's you, would you come forward? Your taste buds are off. Your strength has been diminished. You come forward. I believe God is going to touch you with all my heart. If you're struggling with any level of arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, would you come forward right now if you're not at this altar right now? If you had surgery, but the surgery didn't go well and you haven't been the same since the surgery, would you be nice enough to come forward? You've had an accident and you've not been able to recover from the damage of that accident, would you come forward? All forms of depression, all forms of sorrow, all forms of grief, the brokenness of your heart, a failure mentality, a defeated mentality, a fearful, scared outlook on life, would you come? God wants to just heal and remove some things from your life. Glaucoma in the eyes, come forward in the name of Jesus. The ringing tendonitis in the ear. Psoriasis, the itching. Just come forward right now. God's already moving. He's already moving. He's already moving. He's already moving in this place. He's already mending. Jehovah Rapha's in this place, and he's touching, and he's healing, and he's delivering, and he's setting free, because his word is true right now, and the enemy has no power.